Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Tonight we have the last of the many debates between the presidential candidates. This one is on RT Primetime to be presented by Miriam O'Callaghan and Sarah McInerney. Traditionally, the final debate in the presidential contest can be very significant, but is that going to be the case this time? We have three guests in studio. We have Louise Byrne, political correspondent at the Irish Examiner, Professor Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU and columnist with the Sunday Times. But first, Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. There's a sort of an old saying that everything gets decided in the final week, that lots of people only engage with an election when it's very close to them. But has that been turned on its head this time around so that many people feel it's almost over with days to go?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a sense, I think, because we've had a number of opinion polls, including our own in Red Sea, the Irish Times poll last week, and the Irish Sunday Independent polls as well, all showing a consistent trend that Catherine Connolly has a very sizable lead over Heather Humphreys. And that lead extended almost in the trend in the Irish Times, or certainly the Irish Times would indicate that the gap is widening as opposed to narrowing. I suppose if you're Fine Gael, you're hoping that in the last few days, all this aggressive negative campaigning and a sort of attack ads essentially against Catherine Connolly will impact on that.
Or could it backfire?
That's the fear. That's the fear, because I think what you're saying is, like, they've annoyed barristers by the use of, you know, the attack in relation to her work as a barrister, because barristers will claim, listen, we take the work we're given and we don't have much choice in relation to that.
I don't know. Is that entirely true?
No, it's not.
No, because in criminal cases, yes, the so-called cab rank. But yeah, when it comes to commercial and civil cases, solicitors, and I put this to Catherine Connolly yesterday, solicitors go to the barristers that they want, who feel will represent them well.
Yeah, and the thing is, I know enough barristers, and I've spoken to enough barristers who say, if you really don't want to work, there's many ways you can get out of it. So it's not like you're completely, you're not tied in definitively to do that. But to the more substantive point, I think if you're Fine Gael, you know, you're hoping as we head into the last, that Heather has a very good night tonight, that she can land some punch in relation to Catherine Connolly's credibility. You know, think back to Sean Gallagher in 2011. Sean Gallagher was the lead candidate in 2011, had a nightmare on the front line debate when he was challenged by Martin McGuinness, and then there was obviously the rogue tweet element to it, but his campaign visibly crashed that night, and Michael D. Higgins, just, you know, who had been nuzzling in second place, rolled on to victory from there.
But Louise Byrne, does Heather Humphreys have the capability to land a blow on Catherine Connolly? And could it be that the reaction that there has been to the perception of negative campaigning, and indeed the word smear being used, makes it even more difficult for her tonight?
I think this is the big issue for Fine Gael, that no matter what they do and no matter how much mud they sling, Catherine Connolly is coming out stronger, she's coming out cleaner, nothing is really sticking to her. And Fine Gael, like, if you look at this barrister story, Fine Gael have been trying to land this for, I'd say, about a fortnight now at this stage, and only in the last few days that it's actually only caught on. And I can't blame the candidates when I say this, they're both absolutely exhausted. And as someone in one of the camps said to me yesterday, this is not the kind of debate and the kind of election where you can only have two candidates. The schedule really suggests that there should be so much more, because there's so much pressure on the two candidates who are, and again, I don't mean this disrespectfully, they're both in their 60s. It's tough. I'm tired. I can't imagine how tired they must be. And I think that's Heather Humphrey's big issue going into this evening. And the interview with Colette Fitzpatrick last night, Fine Gael think it went really well. I would question if it did. I would question, you know, some of her answers that she gave last night. For example, she was saying that in the case of a vote for an inquiry into Shane O'Farrell, she was saying she was abroad. My colleague in the Irish Examiner, Paul Hosford, was very quickly last night able to look at that and go, that's not true. She was due to fly back into the country 3 hours or 2 hours before that vote took place. So it's, you know, it's these little mistakes and these little slip-ups that people notice. And when it's been so intense and when there's just the two of them, you would question whether either of them have it in them to give a fatal blow.
Is there an element of perhaps giving up on Fine Gael's part to this stage? And the reason I ask that is we have been trying for a couple of weeks, going back to the start of the campaign, to get a time when Heather Humphreys will come in for an interview here on The Last Word. Now, maybe they don't think The Last Word or Today FM are important. Well, we have 180,000 listeners in The Last Word. They tend to be younger than the RT listeners or even News Talk listeners. Today FM is a station with about 1 million listeners a week. And Heather Humphreys will not have appeared on Today FM as part of the campaign. The offer is still open to her. She wants to come in tomorrow. But why wouldn't they? Is it that they have given up on her?
Yeah, and to be honest, you're not the first person who I have had have heard difficulties getting her. I've heard numerous people saying that they have the request in for Heather Humphreys to come in and they either haven't got a response or it's all up in the air and time is running out. You know, you really only have tomorrow. You can do Thursday, but is that cutting it a little bit close? And all these kind of questions that people have to consider, especially the print journalists. You can't be printing a big interview with Heather Humphreys on Friday on the day of the poll. So this has been a common issue. Now, I will say other people have been having trouble catching Catherine Connolly. It's, you know, it goes both ways. Both have been evasive.
She won't answer questions from the Irish Daily Mail, for example, on a regular basis.
She won't. And, you know, she kind of, if you keep asking, and I've experienced this as well, if you keep asking a question, she kind of turns away from you and as if to say, I'm done right here, right now.
Even if she hasn't answered the question.
Even if she hasn't answered the question. And that's been a big issue with her not answering questions. But and the Irish Daily Mail reported this today and the Irish Examiner and several other papers were in the same boat where we weren't notified of a doorstep yesterday with Catherine Connolly and texts went out to individual journalists.
So she's picking the media she wants to talk to.
Catherine Connolly's campaign said there isn't, that there's been a breakdown in communication in the last few days. My argument to that was I text you 9 times over the last few days and haven't got a response. So there's issues on both sides, but it could be Fine Gael giving up. But it's, I think you have to caveat that with is Catherine Connolly is not always forthcoming either.
Okay, Gary Murphy, could it be the case that Fine Gael picked a poor candidate and then let her down further by running a really poor campaign?
It could, Matt. I wrote last Sunday that I thought Fine Gael missed a glorious chance to have a contest.
In selecting who should be their candidate when Mairead McGuinness had to drop out.
Sean Kelly got 122,000 votes. In fact, he had so many votes he could have afforded to give 10,000 to the late John Mullins, his colleague. Remember, Fine Gael got 10,000 more votes than Fianna Fáil in that election.
Sorry, this is in the European Parliament
The European elections last June of 12 months. And they got 10,000 more votes, but they lost the seat to Fianna Fáil, who had better vote management. The point being, he's a very good vote getter. Now, is he the most charismatic person? Would he travel? Who knows? And I mean travel across the country, like would his message sell? But at least if they had a contest, and Fine Gael people say to me, look, there was a contest, Sean Kelly put his name forward, he didn't get the votes. But I think we are all in politics long enough to know, Matt, that if Fine Gael wanted a contest, they could have had a contest, and that contest would have steeled the victor for the inevitable tough questions that they've got on this campaign, that Heather Humphreys has got on this campaign, and would have given them an opportunity to craft, develop and sell a message. Instead, Fine Gael having that option, or the other option of having a coronation, as I described it, for Heather Humphreys, chose the latter. And that has simply backfired. For whatever reason, she just hasn't resonated with the wider public. And in contrast, then, sorry, just to finish, Catherine Connolly has a sort of Teflonitis that I haven't seen since Bertie Ahern was in his pomp in the sort of mid-2000s. Nothing seems to stick to her at all.
Okay, but go back a little bit just in relation to Fine Gael. Does it appear that Heather Humphreys is doing, according to the various opinion polls and the likes of the Business Post and the Irish Times, is doing no better than the Fine Gael core vote? Although even within that, she's not managing to get some of the Fine Gael votes. She's getting a few votes from elsewhere, but she's unable to break through the Fine Gael's ceiling.
Yeah, worse, I would have thought, if anything, at about 20% in a two-horse race. And as I said on the programme last week, Matt, when the Irish Times poll had been published, to have 22% leakage, in other words, 22% of people saying Fine Gael people saying they were going to vote for Catherine Connolly, seems like an enormous amount in a two-candidate race. Now, Fine Gael, as we know, had been pretty hopeless at presidential elections. Gay Mitchell got 6.4% in 9 months after Fine Gael got 76 seats. And 36% of the vote, and with a bit of luck could have got close to an overall majority. They're woeful at campaigns, and the fact that she hasn't agreed or arranged to come on your programme, and you just read out the figures, and I see it, all my students, you know, I don't think I'm maligning them, seem to be voting for Catherine Connolly. She does seem to have captured this youth zeitgeist,
and you know,
this was the opportunity for her to say, well, look, I can offer you something.
Well, in addition to that, you know, people may say that it was all about social media and podcasts now. Our interview with Catherine Connolly last night is available as a podcast. If you don't hear it live, you can hear it any time between now and election day. So essentially the Fine Gael team has handed that advantage to Catherine Connolly. And even if they suddenly make her available, maybe even on Thursday, how many people then will get the opportunity to pick up on the podcast?
Yeah, just, I mean, the point being that, and I think Louise was quite right here, we know people make up their minds late, and especially in the volatility in Irish politics going back to 2011. Their last-minute voters are sort of more, I think, significantly more than their war. But they don't make their mind up, I think, on polling day, or very few of them do. And so I think, what are we now, Tuesday at 5:30, it's getting a bit late. It's getting a bit late for her, I think.
Yeah, I would think, you know, we're in that critical period where, you know, so our last poll had an undecided of about 27%. We have another poll tomorrow, which we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see where that undecided figure is. If that's still above 20%, you might think there might be a bit of hope for Fine Gael. Maybe not. A high level of undecided means it's going to be an extremely low turnout.
I wonder how many of those who have expressed a preference will actually go and vote.
Yeah, I think, I'm in the Gaelic club and the soccer club with my kids, and I'm like, the talk of the election is sort of everything's talking about. Large number of people who would be, you know, normally very active political people saying no interest in this time around.
I know a lot of people are also away because it's the bank holiday. It's the Friday of a bank holiday weekend. I know people who are teachers who are going, great, you know, the school's closed on Friday. I can go away now on Thursday evening rather than on Friday evening. So are you kind of cursing yourself with that element too?
Gary, there's a listener who says, seriously, do we care about the Irish presidential race? It's a nothing post with no power at all. I imagine it will be a record low turnout, probably 25-30%, and of that, most will be spoiled. In the end, who cares who wins? We only see them at Ireland matches. Okay, now there might be a few assumptions in that which are exaggerated. But could it be that we will have a very low turnout? Because I think one of the things from the Irish Times poll last week, and I put it to Catherine Connolly last night, 49% of those surveyed saying they didn't feel the candidates represented them.
Yeah, that's a significant figure, obviously one in two practically. I think the presidency does count, is the first point. Certainly, I think Michael D. Higgins would say his presidency has counted, and those who consider themselves great supporters of his would say so. A couple of years ago he said, do you want a president instead of a puppet, when he had criticised the government's housing policy, and I think he has probably made a significant difference to how a lot of people think about the presidency, notwithstanding the view of that particular texter. Now, on turnout, certainly. Like, Matt, this time last year, just afterwards, when we were discussing the general election, I made a point that we were below 60%, which was a real, I think, worry for the Irish, sort of, not the electorate, but the Irish sort of body politic, and us as citizens, that, you know, only 6 out of 10 people were voting in an election where the outcome was clearly uncertain. This is down, like, 25% in, you know, 1987, like, it's extraordinary. And now on the presidential election, 58% voted for in the 2011 election, down to 44% in 2018. And I mean, the texter could be right. I think we could be looking at below 40%. And that, I think, should worry us. Certainly.
And within that 40%, could there be a lot of spoiled votes, given the campaigns that there have been? And could it be that a lot of people might vote for Jim Gavin as a form of protest, the Fianna Fáil candidate who withdrew?
Yeah, and there are certainly some who, I might call them from the Maria Steen camp, so-called, who have been advocating this in various broadcast media and print media. I tend to think it's a ridiculous idea on the grounds that, look, we're going to have a president for 7 years and you have a choice to who you want in there. And if you vote for Jim Gavin, you're leaving it up to other people.
Daniel, another listener says, spoiling your vote is wrong, in my honest opinion. There are millions of people in the world who don't have that right. In my book, it's an insult to them. It's not a luxury. Don't treat but as such, please. But hang on, is spoiling your vote, if you actually go to the ballot box, at least you're making a statement rather than not going to the ballot box at all?
That is true, and I think I do think we will see the Jim Gavin factor coming in. There's some school of thought that the Jim Gavin number would drop to like low single digits. I actually think that we could be pushing 10% plus with Jim Gavin's figures. There's a Russ in Fianna Fáil who will put the number beside a Fianna Fáil candidate no matter what. There are those who will use it as a means to complain about the lack of candidates. I think what we should do in this country is what we did in UCD. There was an option to reopen nominations. If you weren't satisfied with the runners and riders, you got a chance to reopen. And several candidates lost on that. I think it might be worth considering that, given what we've counted this for. It does raise, if you look at the field that we could have possibly had in this field, Bertie Ahern, Maria Steen, you could have had from Fine Gael,
Conor McGregor.
We could have had a plethora, but McGregor aside, we could have had a plethora of what I would have considered proper heavyweight politicians. This is a lightweight field, relatively speaking, in my view. And I think the public feel that as well. And this is what is being reflected.
Well, indeed, Louise, a listener says the president does count, but these candidates are not of the calibre of the last three presidents. These were talking Mary McAleese, Mary Robinson, Michael D. Higgins.
I mean, hindsight's a great thing. We look back on Michael D. Higgins and we say he's had a great presidency. Were people excited about him? Some do. Yes, that's correct. Some do. But were people excited about him in 2011? He was behind in the polls for up until the last week, and then he won after the Sean Gallagher incident. So, you know, maybe Catherine Connolly and or Heather Humphreys will prove us wrong. I have a feeling they may not, but they may. And I mean, I don't think it's good for democracy. I don't like this argument, oh, it's undemocratic, such and such isn't on the ballot paper, because it's actually an example of democracy at play, because it's exactly what the Constitution said of how you get on the ballot paper. But in general, I don't think it's good for voters when they don't have the choice. And you referenced that Irish Times poll. Nearly half of people say that they don't feel like the candidates represent them, and that's not good either. And maybe that's something we need to look at going forward. And do we want this US kind of style elections where we only have two candidates? I don't think anyone wants that. So I think, you know, there's nothing we can do about it now. The election's happening on Friday. The candidates are the candidates. But I think going forward, we've 7 years now to get this right and see what changes can be made. And I think that's something that has to be given consideration.
Could there be wider political consequences from this as well, Gary, in that if Fine Gael loses badly, and I'm not predicting that they will, I want to be careful here in what we say, but just based on what we've seen from the opinion polls, what will the consequences for Simon Harris be? And we've already seen Micheál Martin's personal ratings fall and Fianna Fáil's ratings fall as a result of the Jim Gavin debacle. Has this undermined the two main party leaders significantly?
I'm not sure it has undermined them significantly, but I do think they would be unwise not to have a good, careful think about it. Now, on polls, we've just finished a book called How Ireland Voted, which will be out in the next week or so. A couple of political scientists, well, a lot of political scientists, on the machinations and the results of the election. I was doing the first chapter, Matt. I looked at all the polls over the course of the years. Sinn Féin had 3 years of consistently polling at 30%, way ahead of everybody else, and it just dissipated in the last 16 months or so, 18 months perhaps. So polling is, Micheál Martin I think is right, polling can sort of be a snapshot in time. But there's no doubt the buck stops with him for the Jim Gavin fiasco. And Simon Harris, mediocre local election results, good European results, to be fair, but Fine Gael being the European party, you would imagine that they would have decent European Parliament results. A terrible general election, let's face it. In my view, he's, when they're 10 seats behind Fianna Fáil, in my view, he's lost his sort of brio as leader, if I can use that word, or his sort of mojo. And
his new energy.
Well, that's long gone, so it's more like a sort of a flat battery. And in that context, all it would take is one significant challenge within to say, you're not the man to lead us to the glory days of the Shires, and it could be done.
Okay, a couple of comments again from listeners. Previous presidents didn't have the disgusting scrutiny we have now. I'm not sure that that is necessarily true. Another one says, look at social media and the media trying to dig up dirt on anyone going for election. Why would anyone want to put themselves forward for any election? Well, Danny McConnell, maybe 2 points in relation to that. We've been talking earlier to Lee Sand and Flor McCarthy about our podcast series, Think You Know the President, and it's quite clear from the episodes they've done on Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese, there was a lot of smear of candidates during those particular campaigns. But the point made by this listener, why would anyone want to put themselves forward for any election? Could that be why we have reached the situation that we have? That there's an awful lot of people who might have made very fine presidents who just decided, I'm not putting myself up for this.
Undoubtedly, that was a factor. And I'd say a number of people who probably considered a run said, not for me, not for my family. Because unlike a general election where it's generally a policy-based election, this is totally about your character, your personality, your family links, whether you had, you know, an affair 35 years ago or not, or your as Jim Gavin discovers, €3,500 rent issue did for him, like, you know, and it wasn't 30,000 or 300,000, it was 3,500 or 3,600, and how he handled it.
And there's another list saying actually there's no smears this time, and another one saying that basically all of the questions have been asked have been based on factual situations to try and get more information out. How can those be called smears?
Like for example, the case of Gareth Sheridan was a case in point. He was largely an unknown quantity. We knew him in the business world, you know, given his involvement with his company, but in 48 hours to 72 hours, the media did a proper job in Gareth Sheridan and weeding out and certain. These were legitimate. This wasn't a smear campaign, a dirty tricks campaign. This was proper, robust journalism. That's what we should be doing. And that's what you've seen in this campaign.
Yeah, and this whole idea of a smear, like, you can't ask a question at the moment without being accused of having a smear campaign. And journalists, and I was only having this discussion with another journalist earlier, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for the public who don't have an opportunity to do this. We're asking questions that the public deserve to know an answer to. And if we're getting frustrated, it's because we're not getting answers from people for our readers and our listeners or our viewers, whatever we are doing. It's not about us. And people, like, what do you want? What's the alternative? We just sit back and let them fight it out amongst themselves?
But if you watch any Dáil debate, God help you if you did. But if you do, you get all sorts of allegations thrown back and forth. So it does make me sort of laugh. I don't think there's been too many, any smears, really. Catherine Connolly has legitimate questions. She is very expert, Matt, as you found out yesterday, in sort of avoiding them. You know, it's quite extraordinary. And Heather Humphreys, look, let's face it, she got off to a terrible start when in the First Virgin debate, which had a lot of viewers, 650,000.
Yeah, I wonder how many will watch tonight.
That she sat back. Well, usually on the last week, we tend to have a big viewership for that primetime debate or whatever they call
it. It was over 800,000 7 years ago.
But, you know, the trouble now is a lot of people, I think, and with the polls the way they are, might have said, is it any point?
All right. Okay, thank you very much, all three of you.
Right, went on that downbeat note.
Not at all. Listeners, is balanced reporting? You're going to talk to anyone who supports Catherine Connolly? She has clearly answered with poise and dignity. Well, there's no... everything is balanced here. There is no one supporting either of the candidates in anything that they have said in the studio here. And if you heard Catherine Connolly last night on this programme, she didn't answer many of the questions that I put to her at all. This listener also says, please stop the Heather Humphreys support train, so biased. I don't think that come across in any of the conversation that we have had. But our invitation to Heather Humphreys, who will be treated, if she joins us on The Last Word, with exactly the same respect as Catherine Connolly received last night on this programme. Thank you to Daniel McConnell, Louise Byrne and Professor Gary Murphy.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.